Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from The Grave Talks. When you're not listening to this show and our great interviews with amazing guests, be sure to check out our true crime podcast, Dark Side Of. Just search Dark Side Of wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of a brand new episode of Dark Side Of. Today on The Dark Side Of, child porn investigation reveals Arby's worker peeing in milkshakes. We'll talk about that, plus a grandpa, son, now charged in connection with a three-year-old's exorcism death, and Las Vegas police report a mother attempts to kill a newborn, saying the baby was evil. Another one of those today on The Dark Side Of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray. Once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. Helps us grow in the rankings and lets other folks know that we exist. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. And we're recording this in the morning at 9:16. I always want to do like an 8 o'clock recording just so I can go back in time and say it's Bob on the clock. But
I am not getting up that early, so no, you'll have to lie about it.
We worked with, it was your co-host, your co-host for years, and he was the morning guy at the station I worked at for a long time, and he always, that was his thing. I mean, he always had like funky ways of saying things. 8:08 is Bob on the clock, and I will always remember that.
Extremely creative, and you know, things like that you always remember.
Yeah.
And I mean, anytime I see that it's 8:08, I think of him. So it's really smart marketing.
I do too. Every time I see it, I'm like, oh, it's Bob on the clock.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I walked with him yesterday. We live in the same neighborhood. So
good.
It's really good to catch up with people that you know, have known for a long time and trust and love and stuff, because the world is really fucked up right now.
Oh, completely. Yeah. No, I had a great, when I came up there in November and I had breakfast with him. I mean, I didn't really talk to him in depth in 20 years, you know, and I mean, we've been friends on Facebook, but sat down in that conversation. It was like just picking up. Same with you. I mean, we just, you know, picked up like nothing.
Yeah, like we didn't miss a beat.
I know.
And I think when the world is this messed up, you need to go back to the people that are comfortable and, you know, that you feel, I guess, content with, because,
sure,
you know, you turn on your TV, you open your computer, you look at your phone, and I don't know how you don't just go, what the fuck is going on?
You got to surround yourself with people that you're pretty sure are not going to be arrested for peeing in milkshakes at a Arby's. Like, everybody's got,
we all known that person that you look at them and go, yeah, I could see them doing it. But you don't know if they ever have, for sure.
You know, it's funny because I didn't even know Arby's had milkshakes until.
They do.
I know. And is it the Jamocha shake? Do they still have that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's like a dark chocolate milkshake. And it's really good.
It's got kind of a coffee hint to it.
It's really good. It's a good milkshake. I have a second thoughts on them now. But I remember the first time I heard about them, speaking of creepy people, it was a boss of ours there that we had to have removed somewhat forcefully because he was creepy as shit and was sexually harassing everyone. I remember the only good thing that came out of that guy was he would go to Arby's a lot and he'd come back and he's like, have you ever had the shakes, the Jamocha? I'm like, I didn't know they had them. And then I went to Arby's and tried a Jamocha shake. And unfortunately, every time I have one, I'm associating it with a predator. But...
Well, and now this. You should have been.
And now at least I have another horrible thing to associate Arby's milkshakes with now, other than him. So maybe it'll be broken and I'll be like, yeah, but that was just this one place people were peeing in it, you know, and I don't know. But
I feel so bad for Arby's because I'll tell you what, I really love their food.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Arby's. They're good. I enjoy.
They get a lot of shit. Who is it? I think it's. Is it Seth Meyers who's always ragging on Arby's? Somebody's always ragging on him, and it's a joke.
Yeah.
But it's like, What is it about Arby's that, you know, they've become, you know, the weird kid in the class?
I don't know. It's just, it's never been a McDonald's. It's never been a, what else is big? Like Taco Bell, or it's been its own kind of little thing forever, but it's big. I've always liked Arby's ever since I went to them. Like, I don't think I went to an Arby's till I was like 18 because we didn't have one. And I was like, oh, this is great. But my favorite Arby's joke of all time is from Seinfeld, where Elaine goes out on a date, a first date with somebody. And they're like, so what did you have? We went to Arby's. I had the roast beef.
That's not a dating place.
Okay? I know.
It's just not.
I had the roast beef. Like, that's great.
I love their roast beef. To me, that is childhood for me. I used to go to Minnesota North Star games, which really shows my age. The North Stars used to be a hockey team in Minnesota.
I didn't know that.
Before the Wild took over.
Okay.
Well, basically the Stars left and went to Texas because, you know, why not?
Okay.
And then Minnesota being Minnesota and cold.
Still need hockey. You know,
the state of hockey.
Yeah.
They needed a team. So another team came along. But anytime you would go to the Met Stadium or the Met Center, excuse me, where they actually played the games, when you paid parking, they gave you this little like a ticket stub to show that you paid for parking. And on the back was an Arby's get a free sandwich.
Nice.
This is like long time ago in Minnesota. And so what we would do is we would go to games, me and my stepdad, like every week. We had season tickets, so we were there all the time. So we had a ton of these things. So we would stop at Arby's on the way to our hockey game and then get another coupon. So it was just this tradition for me.
Sure.
So for me, it's really hard to see Arby's just taking this hit.
I think they'll survive it. I mean, it's just it's a crazy story. But it is interesting to see restaurants when they have something like this happen, how the public reacts to it. Like one that happened several years ago, which really was no fault of their own, but completely took them down, was Chi-Chi's. Chi-Chi's was a Mexican restaurant. It was owned by the same company that owned Red Lobster. Typically, they were next door to each other. There was a Red Lobster, and then there was a Chi-Chi's. So if you ever see a strange kind of Mexican adobo-looking building next to a Red Lobster, it was once a Chi-Chi's. Now it's an antique store. I've seen like them turn into porn shops and everything else. It's like, oh, that was a Chi-Chi's. It was like this relic of the past. And it was very popular. And what happened there about 20 years ago, they had a Salmonella outbreak at one restaurant, I believe. And it was in California, and they traced it back. It was not the restaurant mishandling food. It was the green onions that they got shipped in. So,
which isn't their fault at all.
Like, that happens. Like, it happens all the time in the grocery store. I can guarantee you, go to the grocery store, ask what's been recalled. They will tell you at least one item has been recalled within their store.
Absolutely.
And it's usually been something about Salmonella. And so it wasn't their fault, but a woman did die from it, but it completely took the restaurant out. Like, they all closed, like, almost immediately after. And it was like, really? Like, what? I don't know. That has always struck me as a little weird, too, that the whole chain closed. In the U.S., anyway. I think there's still some Chi-Chi's in other countries. But, yeah, it was just like, that's kind of extreme. But
I don't want to get into this cancel culture thing, because I actually don't buy into that.
Mm-hmm, no, neither do I.
But when something like this happens, the cycle of jokes starts in.
Yeah.
You know, the late night comedians start making the jokes, and then you see it on TikTok, and then you see it on Instagram, and it becomes memes, and it's everybody's making the joke. And if you look at it from a business perspective, that can be really hard, because people having that in their head, they're going to go, I'm not going to go there.
But this happened before Facebook, right? Before MySpace, before social media existed.
Yeah.
It did it like that. I wonder, in some cases, it's one thing if one is just kind of making jokes about it. It's another if it turns into like a movement and someone with a cause that doesn't know what the fuck their cause is about. And but they're going to have a cause and they're going to be offended by it. And it's like, look, there's this one horrible employee at Arby's. And guess fucking what? He's the one that got caught. I could almost guarantee you look around the country if we were a way to tell everybody's story. I'm guessing this sort of shit probably happens more frequently than any of us are aware of.
Oh, you are not kidding. I, you know, it's think of the times when you've had a job and maybe it's just an off day and you kind of don't do things the way you should have, but you're not, you know, it's not evil.
Yeah.
But it put that into the food world. What happens when you're having an off day?
And when you're a good person and having an off day, think of all the shitty people you know that work in some of these places. And if they're having a good day even, and then God forbid a bad day. I mean, I remember I had some friends I was friends with in high school that worked at a sub shop, and the way that they would I mean, they didn't do anything like peeing in the meat or anything like that, but there was questionable things going on as far as like food handling goes and not washing hands and, you know, the things that you should be doing, and some food and vegetables being reused probably longer than they should have.
Yes.
And that wasn't even just the kids. That was like the owner going, we want to save money, so we're going to probably extend the ham by a week.
And nothing happened, but they were doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe that one time something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's when you have an outbreak. Well, that's when people get sick.
And how often does it happen where people get sick and they don't, you know, it's almost virtually impossible to relay it back to the specific restaurant unless the restaurant goes and gets investigated. But most areas smaller areas are probably easier to investigate, quite honestly. If you're in a larger populated area, there's still like only like one or two like food for service and whatever the title is that goes and investigates this stuff for like 10,000 restaurants.
It's hard.
It's impossible. I mean, that's why you go to some places and it's like, oh, I got sick there last time. And you get sick there the next time and the next if you ever have to go back, because nothing gets changed or fixed. I mean, I went to one not that long ago. It was like the second or third time I'd been there, and I had to go because it was a group gathering and it was like, we're all going to meet here. I'm like, all right. And we both got sick. And I said, I ended up calling the whatever it is, the consumer line for reporting restaurants. And I looked up their information. Oh, Department of Health is what I'm looking for. And I looked up the information and other complaints on the restaurant, and they've been cited left and right for not having food at proper temperatures, like tons and tons and tons of violations, but they're
still allowed to be open.
That's the thing. It's just kind of a slap on the wrist. I think in most cases, if they correct it the next time they come back, then they're good. I think it like takes someone dying. I don't know, but I was like, oh, well, this is what it is. So I left a complaint and, you know, said, you know, please go look at it. But they seem to not care and they've been there for a long time. So I don't know.
Yuck.
It's just, I guess it's kind of one of those accepted or mitigated risks that you take when you go out to eat. It's like, yeah, you're not the one staring, and I don't want to be the one staring at my food, watching it being made. That's a little crazy.
No, I don't either. There's a new restaurant in my area where the kitchen's open.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
I don't, but usually places like that are pretty confident in their chefs and cooks not to fuck things up. If you're going to do that, you know, that's.
I agree. But here's where Stace getting a little paranoid about viruses and things.
Yeah.
You know, the tables are fairly close to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody sneezing and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's say that person sneezing, their sneeze is going to come my way anyway, because I'm near them, but now it's going to be on the food possibly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's scary.
I don't know. It's a weird concept. These open kitchens. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, and they like to, you know, use flame, you know, it's very attractive.
Sure.
And, you know, something will just kind of light on fire and everyone's like, ooh, and it's not one of those restaurants where they cook it in front of you.
Yeah.
Not one of those hibachi grills.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a different, like a wood fired place.
Sure. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really good. The food's great.
I was
go ahead. It's just weird.
I was at Subway the other day, and I don't know, it was like some sort of clip. It almost looked like a chip clip, but it was attached to something on the ceiling, and it probably like held a sign at some point in time. And they were making my sandwich, and the chip clip falls onto the sandwich, and the guy just picks it up and sets it off to the side and keeps making the sandwich.
Oh my God, no!
And it's on the ceiling, and you look at the ceiling, and it's like, yeah, this probably hasn't been cleaned in a while. Like, I don't know. Like, and I said, I'm sorry, but that fell from the ceiling. I don't know what it held. I don't know what's on it, but it fell right on the food. Can we remake that part of the sandwich, please? Or at least just like take that tomato off that it fell onto.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And it's just like, I hope they didn't see it.
You know, when you're getting your hair done and your stylist drops their comb or whatever, they have to get a new one. That's like part of sanitation. If you drop something, you can't pick it up and reuse it. And that's for hair.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes.
I guess if I were a hair person, I would not be, I would be in trouble because I would just pick that shit right up.
Oh yeah. That is a huge violation. It hit the floor. It's not clean anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I speaking of clipping things, and we'll go into the Arby's story. My dog Bear, he's a furry looking bear like dog. And he had so much fur, and I let him grow it out in winter because he's outside and he's with the other dogs. I have two big ones out in the field, and he lives out there with them, and they have fun, and he loves running around. But in spring here, I like to shave him down so he's a little cooler and, you know, feels better. So last night I'm attempting to do this, and I ordered some sort of, like dog vacuum thing, like a Flobee for dogs, essentially.
Yes.
And I thought, this will be great. This is a great idea. Had okay reviews, and I'm like, I'll take a chance on it. It died within like 10 minutes of using it. So the dog is kind of like half shaved, kind of looks like he got run over by a semi, and very not good looking. He looks like a wet bat or something. And he doesn't care about his looks, I don't think. I'm like, no. I'm sorry, dude. I'm like, and it just completely, like, everything died on it. I'm like, oh, I'm sending this back. But I have another clipper, but it wasn't charged. So I'm like, I got to charge this overnight. We'll fix this tomorrow. But he's out there right now looking like a train hit him.
You know, he probably feels pretty good. It's kind of like when you're covered up with blankets, but you throw that one leg out just to kind of have a little coolness. That's probably how he feels.
Yeah, it probably is. It's if I took him into the dog grooming place right now, I think I'd probably get reported.
I was going to say somebody's going to call.
And it's like, I don't need
animal
that.
Services.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, we'll finish this tomorrow. We'll be good. You'll look. And I'm not the greatest dog groomer, but I don't really care because he's just outside and it doesn't really matter. He's not going to a show. And he just stays here. So I don't know. But that was interesting. All right. So the Arby's child porn investigation reveals an Arby's worker peeing into milkshakes. So it goes even deeper. A child porn investigation took another disgusting turn when Vancouver police officers found a video of a man peeing in a milkshake mix at an Arby's restaurant in Washington, authorities reported. The man, a night manager at the restaurant, told police he urinated in the milkshake mix for sexual gratification at least twice. Vancouver police said in a news release. How the fuck, like, what kind of fucked up complex do you have? What happened to you? I guess would be the question that peeing in a milkshake mix gets you sexual gratification. I mean, when you understand the psychology of people and you get this or that, like, okay, I understand kind of, you know, where that kind of developed in your brain and that's fucked up. It's not good. But usually you can connect the dots and go, okay, that kind of makes sense. This one?
No.
I don't know.
And Tony, I don't have a kid. You do.
Yeah.
Does this come from potty training mistakes? Is that, you know, I don't understand. I know potty training is very important.
Yeah. There was something I was, I was reading or listening to about the other day, and they said it's called the anal phase. This is a true thing. I think this is Freud. And it's between like 0 and 2. And the way that you're treated essentially in that stage of being, you know, taken care of, your diaper being cleaned, and just, you know, overall upkeep, they've found a long time ago, I think this probably still stands up, or some people believe it, is that that will really kind of shape your personality, your interests, your drives, and so many things in life, all just in that 2-year period. So I don't know. I mean, I'd be kind of interested, you know, was there a family member that worked at the Arby's as a child? Did he get changed by the milkshake machine? Was he ever violated by the milkshake machine? I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. This is an interesting one.
And how many people drink?
Quite a few. They've figured. But what do you do at this point? This was a long time ago. The man, the night manager for the restaurant, told police that he urinated in the milkshake mix for sexual gratification at least twice. Police found no indication that Arby's or other employees were aware of the incidents. The alleged actions of the former franchise employee are abhorrent and unacceptable. An Arby's spokesperson said in the statement to McClatchy News, "We have taken immediate action with the franchise group who terminated the former employee and is fully cooperating with authorities in their investigation. Investigators are seeking anyone who bought a milkshake at 221 Northeast 104th Avenue restaurant on October 30th or 31st, the release said. I don't know that I'd remember that if I was, no. I'd be like, maybe it was around there. They ask anyone with a receipt. Yeah, because who keeps your fucking Arby's receipt from October or verified transaction information to contact Robert Givens? I guess if you look at your credit card receipt, if you use that, and you could see an Arby's charge. You just have to remember what you ate. Another Arby's manager told police a restaurant sold at least one ice cream float and 30 to 40 milkshakes on October 30th, the Columbian reported. Detectives in a child porn investigation contacted the man May 10th, and the release said he admitted downloading and distributing child pornography, police said. A search of his phone and other digital devices uncovered dozens of photos and videos depicting the sexual exploitation of children. The search also uncovered a video of the man urinating in a milkshake mix, milkshake mix containers, police said. That was like a bonus for them. They're just trying to investigate the guy in the child porn charges. Guess what? He's also peeing in the milkshakes. Ugh. The man faces charges of possessing and distributing child pornography and assault. The release said detectives are still investigating his digital devices. Vancouver is a city of 195,000 people just north of Portland, Oregon. Wow. So there you go. I'm guessing that Arby's probably not going to stay in business. That would be a hard one.
I'm pretty sure that's going to drop them right into the ground. Yeah. People aren't going to trust them. And I bet they are probably more clean than any franchise at this point because of this story.
It's going to be in the employee training videos going forward now at the Arby's. It'll be, "Welcome to Arby's. We're glad that you started your new career here in sandwich arts. A reminder, when refilling the milkshake machine, not to pee in the powder. It's not sanitary and not good. Again, don't pee in the powder. And enjoy your career at Arby's. Remember, don't pee in the milkshake mix." You know how they always have to put like every single like horrible thing that's ever happened and remind people not to do it because one person did it? Like a legal agreement.
Yeah, like taking off your shoes at the fucking airport.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
I'm not bitter.
Do we still do that? I'm flying in about a month or two.
I think so.
Okay. That's good.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I would think with all the technology and the x-rays and everything that they're scanning you with, that you could figure out if there's something in someone's shoes without someone taking them off at this point. Well, maybe I'm crazy.
You'd think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a few years since I've gotten on a plane, mm-hmm. but I feel like the last time I flew, my shoes had to come off.
It was the last time I flew was prior to COVID, but you had to take your shoes off and your belt. Yep. And then you had to give a blood sample and then a dental.
You had to pee into a cup.
Yep. And give your right molar over to them. And then they scanned it and gave it back. And you just kind of hope it fit back in your mouth. It was really very bloody, very awkward. I did have a, did I ever tell you my airport? I think this was the last time I flew. Story of a former radio person working at the airport.
No.
This was good. It's not anybody you know. It's somebody that I worked with in Wichita. And going through the security line, you know, like, okay, got my bag here, go check it, and got the belt off, got the shoes off, and I'm walking. And the guy's name was Barry, and he has since been, he's deceased now, but he was always, he was a nice guy, but he was always kind of an odd guy. And
he's shocking.
Yeah. And after he left radio, he worked TSA. And I'm going through the thing, and he's like, oh, and he's a talker. He's one who will just sit there and talk to you. It was like where it's like, okay, got to go. Could never take a hint like you had to go. And I guess still couldn't take a hint that he was working TSA and we weren't just like standing in front of McDonald's doing a live broadcast. And starts talking to me. And he's the guy watching the monitor of the bags being scanned.
Oh, great.
Bags just keep going through. He's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, how are things in the station? How is this or that? Like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bags going right through the scanner. Nobody looking at anything. And he's just like, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, okay, see you later, Barry. I get to the other side. My bag's all ready to go, you know, because nobody saw anything and I didn't have anything in it. But there was many other bags that weren't mine that went through that scanner.
Oh, my God.
It's just like,
well, first of all, a radio person.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're observant, but maybe their attention span's not so good.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I'm generalizing, but, I worked in radio plenty long. I know these people very well, and that's frightening.
I think radio, if anything, it made ADD come out in us more, or it created it in people who didn't have it. If you worked in radio at least 1999 or prior, back when we had to go CD to CD and you had literally like 2.5 to 3.5 minutes and that's it. And then you had to have something else going while trying to juggle 50 other things. Yeah. So you're always like, just, oh my God, squirrel, 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 squirrel. And you do that every day for like 4 or 5 hours straight.
And you just get used to that. Yeah. That's how your brain starts to function because it has to.
It got conditioned. Yeah. I mean, it conditioned anxiety in people. And so, yeah, it's just interesting. That's how it worked. All right. A grandpa, a son now charged in connection with a 3-year-old's exorcism death. I don't know what the hell is going on with people that they think they need to give their children exorcisms or that it should result in death because... we have another show that talks about ghost stuff. And whenever you hear about exorcisms, nobody's dying. It's like, well, that kind of worked or it kind of didn't. But everybody goes home at the end of the day, swings through the Arby's drive-thru, has a roast beef and cheddar, maybe a milkshake, and they're okay. Satan may still be in their blood, but they still got that Jamocha shake. Another woman, her brother and her father are facing child abuse charges after a 3-year-old was killed in an exorcism. This story from True Crime Daily. According to the San Jose Police Department, on September 24th, 2021 at 8:12 p.m., officers went to the 1000 block of 2nd Street for a reported deceased child. First responders found the little girl, Arlie, unresponsive on the floor of the church and attempted life-saving measures. She was then taken to a hospital where she was pronounced dead. The victim's mom, Claudia Henderson Santos, was arrested on January 31st and charged with child abuse, leading to the death of the victim on May 11th. Claudia's brother, Rene Hernandez Santos, and their father, Rene Trigalos Hernandez, were also taken into custody for child abuse, leading to the death of the victim. The Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office released a statement announcing the charges against the three suspects. The district attorney says they were active participants in the 12-hour-long exorcism at a small makeshift church in which they and the child's mother smothered and strangled the toddler until she died of asphyxia. The three of them allegedly believed that they were expelling an evil demon from the church's body, or the child's body. According to the statement, Claudia believed her daughter was possessed by a demon because the little girl would wake up in the middle of the night and cry.
Gee, that's so rare.
I don't know how you don't understand that this is normal child behavior. Court documents provided by the district attorney's office say Claudia attempted to stick her finger down the victim's throat to squeeze the victim's neck to induce vomiting in order to get the spirit out. Because we all know the spirit comes out with vomit. The three suspects allegedly held Arlie by the neck, abdomen, and legs. Arlie died between 6 and 6:30 p.m., but they did not call 911 until 2 hours later. No one performed any life-saving measures either. The district attorney's office said Arlie died from asphyxia from smothering and mechanical asphyxia, which happens when there is force to the chest, mouth, and neck. She reportedly had injuries to her neck and chest and internal bleeding in her heart, bowel, and pancreas. A few days before her arrest, Claudia posted a video on YouTube talking about Arlie's death and how she doesn't want to sit here and be negative.
What?
You should be fucking negative at this point. You just killed your daughter, bitch. She said, I sit here and think, like, what if something happened to her? What if she would have had a sickness? What if something would have happened to her? It's a lot. At the same time, I could sit here and be negative and be sad about the whole situation that she passed away, but there's no point. It is what it is. What's the point?
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Oh.
What's the point? There's no humanity here with some people. People are missing empathy. They're missing
compassion.
I think it's been bred out of people. I really believe that. I think there's been such shitty parenting, and there always has been shitty parenting, but I think it's just far more widespread now where we're really seeing the results of, these people are clearly not fit to be parents, but we have nothing else to do with these kids, so we're going to let them be shitty parents. And then these kids grow up, and they turn into shitty parents, and then they have kids. And some of them end up killing them in exorcisms, and others end up, you know, surviving and making it through childhood, but then they have no sense of any of that. It was never brought up with them. And then they turn in, and it just spirals and gets bigger and bigger and spiders out. And that's where we're at. We have generations of people who literally are kind of like zombies. And they don't have empathy or understanding. And and you walk by them in the grocery store. And I don't know, I would say years ago, crazy people would stand out for the most part. And be like, oh, this person needs some help. Now they look completely normal. They act
they walk
normal
amongst us. They are right next to us in the checkout lane.
And they may be very friendly too. They may be. And then, but if you sit down, let's say at an Arby's, and maybe you get a triple beef and cheddar, and have a conversation with them, I can guarantee by the time you dip into that Jamocha shake, you may realize, holy shit, this person is crazy. But can I have that curly fry there? Thank you. I really like those. And the looks on their faces too. It's like the mother does. She looks truly like, well, what are you going to do?
If you take a look at her picture, the look on her face is like, it is what it is.
And her brother just kind of looks like, well, got caught. What the fuck ever. It's not my fault. And the dad kind of looks like, I might have been drunk.
Quite possibly. Like, whoops.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like we're doing what we believe. And that's the problem with this sort of shit. There's so many. And I don't know. I'm not going on an anti-religion rant because I'm not anti-religious. But I when I'm driving around sometimes and you see some of these kind of shady pop-up churches where it's like 8 to 12 people gather a week. It's like, you know, and some are I'm sure are fine. They're just starting a church. They didn't like the mega, you know, church that they were at. I don't blame you. I find that to be rather bizarre too. Sometimes you get to these really small culty-ish ones and it gets fucking weird. There was, I actually got a story about this. So when I was in Branson, me and my ex-wife at the time, we joined a church. It was kind of mega churchy, but it was the guy with the preacher when he was there and not on tour was good. I learned just how commercial and how on tour he was all the time. And it was kind of like, I'm out. But they encouraged when you were new to get in a group, meet some of the people. It's like, okay, I'm horrible at meeting people and I'm very shy, but okay, let's try this. And so one, we would do this thing, like you went to everybody's house like once a month or something. And it was just kind of like a social, everybody brought food and just talked and got to know each other.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, and in one night, I learned, this, it just keeps getting better with this story. So I'll start with the first thing. One woman was like, yeah, I still go to this other church and, on every, like every day of the week and on, like some days we go out, we just keep walking way into the middle of the woods. This is a fucking forest and mountains. Uh-oh. It's the Ozark fucking mountains. In the daytime, it's somewhat dangerous if you don't know where you're going, or you could fall or get eaten by something or whatnot. And they go out there way late at night and they walk like 2 or 3 miles into the forest. And then they all start speaking in tongues. And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, it sounded like, oh my God. And almost like, and almost she was describing things like almost exorcism type things going on. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking weird. So there was that. And it was a small little, you know, tiny church, that was doing that. Again, not against tiny churches. I'm speaking of this one specific thing. So I'm sure some of you are like, you hate that. No, I'm speaking of this one experience. In the same setting, on the same couch I'm sitting at while I just hear this story, the couple next to me starts going, yeah, we're going out to California in a week or two. We're going to go meet with, I think one of them's brother-in-law, and they want to get him saved. Okay, if that's your thing, like, oh, what's going on? Just trying to make conversation. Well, he got into some trouble. What did he do? He killed some people. Oh my God. I'm like, wow, that's horrible. When was this? She's like, well, it was a long time ago. He just recently got caught. The fucking Golden State Killer.
No way.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes. It's him. And like, you might have heard of him in the news. And I'm thinking like, well, it's California. Like, it was major fucking news. And they wanted to go visit the Golden State Killer, their brother-in-law, who they, I guess, knew for many, many years because nobody caught him for many, many years. And they wanted to try and save him. The Golden State fucking killer. And at that point, I kind of said, I'm going to nope the fuck out of this church. And I'm out. And it was one of the weirdest gatherings I've ever had in my life. So.
And you've had some weird gatherings, I'm going to tell you.
It's normally just a lot of drunk Wisconsinites with the appetizers. But,
oh my God.
Yeah.
You dodged a bullet.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a bullet that was being dodged or just, I don't know. It was an interesting dinner. There you go. It was more than I wanted. Here's one more. This shit just keeps going on with these parents thinking their children are evil because they're just being children. I don't fucking get this.
Well, it just means you shouldn't have gone into parenthood. I can't imagine somebody who just absolutely, you know, I understand postpartum depression and things like that.
Sure.
This doesn't sound like that's what this is.
This just sounds like narcissism gone wild and undiagnosed and untreated. And we don't want to offend anybody. So we're not going to really call anybody out for anything until they fucking kill their kid. In Las Vegas, a mother of a newborn baby attempted to kill her child after a home birth, police said. Police said they were called to the emergency room at Mountain View Hospital on Saturday for a report of a new mother who refused to enter the hospital and was bleeding profusely, they wrote in an arrest report. Police said the newborn's mother, Ashley Hollingsworth, 22, had tried to kill the child with a blanket. Hollingsworth was located more than 2 hours 2 hours later with severe injuries to her head, police said. Investigators learned that Hollingsworth had given birth in a toilet about an hour before they were called to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, police said Ashley had wrapped a blanket around the baby's head and was pushing the blanket against the baby's face. Doctors initially believed the newborn may have suffered a brain bleed, but staff later determined the child likely did not suffer any injuries. Thank God. While speaking with detectives the next day, a witness told police Hollingsworth reportedly said there was something evil in her stomach and was trying to kill the baby. Hollingsworth later told police in an interview she believed the baby was probably evil. Probably evil, not 100%. Probably kind of means there's a chance I could be wrong.
There's a chance.
But probably evil. After seeing the baby's eyes, smelling what she described as an abnormal scent, that would happen when you have a baby. That's usually not the sense that you normally emit, but you're having a fucking human being come out of you. And the baby grunting at her. Yeah, babies do that.
Ashley's trying to breathe, you know, air for the first time.
Ashley decided to wrap the blanket around the baby's head, police wrote in the report. Hollingsworth was found with self-inflicted injuries to her face, police said. Police arrested Hollingsworth on Wednesday. She faces charges of attempted murder and child abuse or neglect. She was being held without bail ahead of the court hearing next week.
Well, and if you have a chance to take a look at the picture, it looks like she punched herself in both eyes.
Yeah. How do you do that?
Obviously, with the story that we just talked about, there's some issues here, but there are some huge issues here.
Yeah.
Huge.
Self-inflicted. I mean, I suppose anyone could do that. I just wonder if there's more to this story. If there's someone else influencing her, saying these sort of things, if someone else hit her, I don't know. That would be hard. I suppose you could do that. I mean, if you're able to, I guess anything's possible. You could do anything to yourself. If you're able to smother your baby almost to death, I suppose you could punch yourself in the face pretty hard and see nothing wrong with it. Obviously, there's something very wrong with the woman.
I feel like, you know, there's a common theme of the stories that we've talked about, that there has to be people in these people's lives that kind of look and go, something ain't right here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like something with this gal, there's hormones raging, things like that. You know, I want to give her a little bit of benefit of the doubt, but also I don't feel like people just one day wake up and do shit like this.
No.
Were there people in their lives that said, you know, I'm really worried about Ashley. She's acting really off. And now that she's pregnant, you know, and the hormones are rushing, things are getting kind of weird.
I'm going to say probably not.
There are people in their lives that say, you need help.
That's the problem, though. I think what we're missing there is the people in their life that should be saying you need help are probably the ones inflicting abuse and trauma on this person that's created this person into the monster they've become.
Yeah.
And there is no one there saying, you got to get help. They're probably saying, oh, you think it's evil? I do too. Or have you considered maybe the baby's evil? I really don't like the father. Or, you know, just all sorts of crazy shit. I don't know what was being said in this case. But I understand postpartum. I've lived through that with a partner. And it's hell. It's very difficult. And I can't imagine being the person that's going through that, because it's very difficult watching it from the outside. I can't imagine what it's like being that individual suffering from it. But the weird thing is when you start going to the evil thing, you know, that's like, what the fuck is that? Like that's beyond that.
That's next level. And you would hope somebody somewhere in that person's life is going to look at him and go, we need to get you some help. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you, or I can't stand you, but I'm worried about what you're going to do.
Yeah.
There's places you can go. There's resources out there.
If you don't know about it, you haven't known about it your whole life. You're 22 or however old she was. And I mean, when you're in your 20s, you're dumb. I mean, we all have been. I'm saying I was dumb. Everyone is at that time. I mean, and you only know what you know. And that's usually a product of what you've been around and what's brought you up, who's surrounded you, whether it be your parents, whether it be family members, friends, whatever the fuck you've been around. And there's a lot of people who are not that bright that don't know about any of these things. If you told them for the first, like, that exists? Really? I've never heard of that. And it's like obvious shit. And it's like, how? How do you? But if you stay in the bubbles, which most people do, you are unaware. And sometimes there's pretty extreme beliefs out there, where there's a lot of like, this is evil, that's evil. Like, is it, or is it people really making horrible decisions? Or is it paranoia? Or is it this, you know, and how much of this too are we dealing with where we have trauma from people being basically locked away for, if you stayed quarantined or if you did enter, just life in general over the last how many years, being very fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
And if you're going through those formative years and it's, and you're, you know, you need that social outlet and you don't have it, or it's very difficult to get to, I think it creates fucked up people. And it's just scary what we're seeing kind of come out of this. I don't think we're anywhere near the end. I don't think we're ever going to see the end of the psychological damage that's been done, because it's going to go on, you know, for 100 years or so for yes. anyone that's been alive. And to some, it wasn't that damaging at all. And to others, it was, depending on how it was handled and what went on. And you combine that then with abuse, especially if you are home and the only people you are surrounded by are other crazy people, and you don't get to see an outside world or an outside opinion for several years. Yeah, it can create fucked up people. Now, I don't know how much that influenced this, but obviously not a good individual.
No. And I think there's been studies done that if you have endured abuse and you go on to have children, those children, they're showing the markers of some very strange serotonin levels, things like that. So these things just continue.
Yeah.
And if you don't do something to stop it, you're just breeding it into your line.
You are. I mean, they're even finding DNA traits and things of that nature where people who've been abused, like the trauma passes down. Like you may never even, you may have been abused as a child and then you have a child and you are never abusive to that child. You're an ideal parent, but the trauma that you've experienced is passed down to them. Now, of course, there's going to be signs and things where you have certain, I don't want to say quirks, it seems like a very light way of putting it, but you have certain behaviors that have been conditioned into you as a reaction to trauma. And then as that, you know, you may be a little more protective. You may be a little more lenient. This all depends what happened. And those will certainly show somewhat of an effect in how you raise a child and how they come out. But those usually are not abuse. You know, sometimes they can get pretty extreme, but sometimes it's just this person is a little more skittish on this or that because of what they went through. But never like truly never abusing their child, but it's the trauma that you had that then genetically goes forward. And if you have line after line after line of people abusing each other, yeah, it just keeps going. And it's very hard to break that mold. People got to really, you got to step up and say, breaking this, my animal instinct may say, go this way or do this or that. You know, and a lot of people go and justify like, well, that's what my dad did. Well, maybe your dad was a fucking idiot. You know,
exactly.
It's like just because it doesn't mean it was good. And it just keeps fucking going. But again, a lot of people, they don't have the ability to break out of that. They don't know to break out of it. They don't know how to break out of it. They don't know there's another way. Many cases, it just doesn't exist. And then you get just extreme, extreme things. So I'd be interested to know what actually has happened in this person's life. Doesn't excuse anything, but I think there may be a greater understanding to, you know, what's the ingredients here that made this person. And that's the thing we don't look at. We just look at this person's horrible. This person is. Yeah, they are. They did that. But what's in the fucking pie? What's the ingredients? And if we could start looking more at those ingredients, that's how we can start stopping these sort of things. We can start taking a better look at, well, what was this person made up with and who did what to who and how did this, and then really address the mental health aspects of things and get people on a better track. I can guarantee if we would spend a little more time on that in like school rather than kind of like pushing, you know, reinventing ways to do math and shit that the parents don't even understand, maybe do a little more on like psychological things and personal growth and strength and self-love and just things of that nature, we'd probably have a better population. But no, we need to find a new way to do 8+8 because that's what the world fucking needed was a new
fucking
way.
You nailed it. Yeah. You fucking nailed it. Why don't we talk to kids about mental health? And
we don't.
and when to recognize when you're not doing well.
Yeah.
Because you can, you can look in the mirror and go, you know, something about me is just off and I need to figure out what it is. But that comes from years and years of working on things. Why don't we instill this in children, how to recognize within themselves when they need help?
Well, I think because in mass, we create a whole other problem, because you'd have so many kids recognizing the abuse that they're going through at home. And we don't have the ability or the facilities or the people to take on that fucking nightmare, where it's like, oh my God, it's like 25% or more of the kids in this room are being abused, and they can recognize it now. But what are we going to do now? You know, and then you have all these angry parents that are horrible to their kids, then going after the school or just pulling their kids out of the school because they're teaching them, you know, this or that, and that's wrong. And I'm doing it because I'm the parent. And there isn't really a like great idea, but then you have to start holding people accountable to these ideas if we're going to teach them.
No, you're right.
I don't know. There is no easy answer to any of this, but it's just, it's fucked up. So let's find new ways to divide 12 have mom and dad look at that going, but that's not even the right answer. Well, they say it is now. Well, it's not the right answer.
You would have witnessed me throwing math books if I had a kid that came home and said, there's a new way to add 8 + 8.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no, there's not.
No, exactly.
There is not.
The Common Core shit can all fucking die. It's stupid. It's idiotic. It does not. You want parents to be involved in kids' education. How about educate them a way that works and the parents understand? Then we can help. But I can't fucking help her with math with this weird way where sometimes the actual answer is not the correct answer. What the fuck is that?
You know, and math is something in our lives that is constant.
And it's an absolute. So, there's no, I can't go and like turn in my taxes and be like, well, this is the answer I came up with. They're like, no, sir, you right? actually, oh, well, no, according to the math I did, I can be in this range and be, no, you can't.
No.
If you're off
math
by,
math is absolute.
If you're off by like $50, they'll charge you like, we estimated you were wrong and you now owe us 35 cents and they'll spend 50 cents to mail you that letter.
Yes.
To tell you you're wrong.
100%.
So it's not a fucking up for debate thing. And that's I think our bigger problem is everything is up for debate. And there's some things that are just not up for debate. They're just facts. It's okay. The universe has survived with these forever and it hasn't hurt anybody, but they're just fucking facts. So let's stop fucking with that and making everybody go insane. I don't know. I think there's something else going on, honestly. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think I'm becoming one. I really do.
It's hard not to. It's hard not to, you know, when you open up the computer in the morning and or you see the news, you know, an 18-year-old goes and shoots up a grocery store because they're afraid that the white people are being replaced.
Yeah.
It's hard to not feel like something else is at play here.
There's something going on, and I don't know, because it's such a weird thing, but I think there's a lot to a lot of things that we are unaware of, and it's not just in our country. I think there's something bigger going on where we're dumbing people down to such an extreme that they're doing crazy things, and then everybody lives in fear, and then everybody's going to have to rely on the government for something. The part that they're failing at is, if that's true, the government really has not shown a very culpable or responsible or good leadership in any way, shape, or form. It's like, if this is the direction we're going, at least sell it to make it appear like you got your shit together and this is the way. I mean, I think at this point, like, especially after COVID, it's like, even everybody who is like, really, okay, I'm going to follow these rules. I'm going to believe this, you know, what we said at the time is the science, even though the science changed every other week. And then at some point you're just like, you're all full of shit. I don't believe any of this anymore. It's you're all full of shit. Like, I believe there's the disease exists. I don't think we have any clue how the fuck to deal with it. And I think there was a lot of scare. But if the game was to get people scared and then provide the source of survival, the source of what word am I looking for here? The answer, I guess, to the problem. They failed at that miserably, too. So no, if we go back again to like, oh, it's getting really bad. I think a lot of people are like, fuck it. I don't like whatever. I'm going to because all my my neighbor over there, he went on vacation, did this and that. It's fucking fine. And so are all these other people. And yes, this does kill people, but I'm not going to fucking do that again. I think the psychological ramifications are far worse at this point than getting sick, especially with vaccines and everything like that. Now I'll take the fucking disease and
yeah,
hopefully get through
it. I completely agree. You know, if you've gotten yourself vaccinated, you've done what you can do.
Yeah.
Now it's time to go live.
But now it's like, do we keep taking like the new vac? Cause it's like, well, they're making a shitload of money on this. Like, do we need to keep like take like, fuck that. I'm done. I'm done with that for a while too. And like, unless it gets really bad again, maybe I'll consider it, but I don't know. I mean, I took them. I think it's a good idea to have taken them at some point because I think that has certainly helped. And if you got it, you didn't immediately die. But I, even that, I'm starting to question, too, where it's like, we need this. And like, really? Do we? Do we really? Because it doesn't stop it free from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. It lessens symptoms. Okay, I'll give you that. But how long is that even accurate anymore? Or is that just kind of like the beginning of it? And now it's like, we're just going to keep making money here, inject this shit into you. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and we'll find out. I got my fourth shot 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
It beat me over the head pretty hard.
Really?
When I got it the next day, I was down.
Yeah.
But I bounced back. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's just it. We don't know. It's a wait and see kind of thing.
I wonder if we're going to see something like many, we'll probably be dead years down the road where it's like, and the government actually in this part of the country gave placebo shots. And over here,
not.
And over here, it was real shots. But it turns out in the placebo area, there was less disease. And the ones where they got the real one had more. And how much of it is psychological and how much, because there's a lot of that with medicine where it's like the placebo effect on so many things. Sometimes they do better than actually getting the fucking medicine.
But that shows you the power of the mind.
Oh, completely.
That
yes.
If you tell yourself, like when I got my very first COVID vaccine,
yeah.
I felt like I was on top of the world. Wonder Woman. I can fucking do anything. Now.
Sure. Sure.
I felt so protected. Like there was the shield that came down around me.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have boosted my immune system because I was thinking that way.
I agree.
So we need to take into account how the brain functions to help our body heal.
Yeah. And that's something that they don't do right now. It's very much take this pill. Somebody's going to make money on it and shut up.
Yeah.
I started to look into and use some alternative medicines and go to some other doctors that have not been, they're not, you know, of like the massive chains like Cox or
Mainstream,
Mercy
yeah.
or this or that. And it just overall wellness type things. And I've been really happy. They've actually sat there and listened to me. And then they give you suggestions, this or that. It's not super pushy or a sales pitch. I know some of that can be like that. But it's like, this seems to be a little more, let's work with this individual for who they are than just, oh, well, there's that rep that was in here last week that's going to give me that trip to Bermuda if I push enough of this product out the door.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's scary that it even exists. It's like fucking record reps with drugs. It's like,
yep.
You know, give me this many spins, we'll give you this, which is how radio worked forever. That's how the fucking pharmaceutical companies work. It's insane to me that you have to have a salesperson for pharmaceuticals. Why would that not just be like an information thing? Like, here's the information. Here's what we think this drug does. Here's what the tests show. Not like, oh, we're going to give you this or that if you do this or that under the table. But that's how our medicine works in the United States. So fucked up.
You know, sit down and watch, say, for example, the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Repeat. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's about dinner time, maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock. The repeat of Big Bang is on. Count how many drug commercials are in those breaks.
Mm-hmm.
It's astounding. And it's for things that most people don't have,
mm-hmm.
but yet
well, you didn't know you have
mainstream. Yeah. I tardive dyskinesia. I had never heard of that.
Yeah.
Why do I know what it even is? Because of an ad on TV.
Yeah. Maybe I
don't
have
that. It.
Should I ask?
I probably will never have it.
But it's like, ask your doctor if this is right for you. It's like,
yeah. Well, and if you said that to your doctor, I mean, what is it? The Bent Carrot. Have you seen that one?
No.
It's about penises that bend.
Oh, no, I have seen that one. I have not seen that.
I'm looking it up. Bent Carrot. Hang on a second.
I've seen that.
Bent Carrot commercial. Do you have a bent carrot? Is it Xiaflex?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's the drug. Xiaflex. It is about the curvature of the penis.
Why do we need these commercials on TV?
Peyronie's disease. That's what it is.
Okay. I guess, but wouldn't that just, if you're going to your doctor and you have concerns or something, just bring it up. Or if the doctor's examining, I guess, you know, you're not usually getting a hard on when you're at the doctor. So maybe the doctor would never really notice if you have a bent penis. But I guess if that's your concern, that would be something you could bring up with your doctor. But why do I need a commercial telling me to bring this up with my doctor if it's such a concern? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's insane. I get it costs a lot of money to make these drugs and then to market them. But maybe if we had, I don't know, if our system was a little bit different, it wouldn't be such a thing. You know, and that's why our prices are insane and everybody has to find ways. I still don't understand how GoodRx works. I don't know how they make any money or what the fuck they're doing.
But, I don't either. But we use that a lot in the veterinary world because sometimes there were drugs that were prescribed for animals that came from the human pharmacy. That's what I always call it, the human pharmacy. And we would recommend to grab the GoodRx card and you can save some money.
Yeah.
How are they making money off of that? Because you wouldn't think the pharmacy would want to work with them.
No, and like all the drugs are on there. And it's like, so because I picked up this piece of paper, now this drug that you were about to charge me $500 for, I'm going to get for $25. Because I picked up this piece of paper and you scanned a code. What the fuck is, how does that work? Why
can't we just give that price to everybody? Why does it have to be this exclusive? Have you heard about GoodRx?
Yeah. And it's not even really, it's exclusive if you know about it, but now it's like, it's there. They like, sometimes it's like the card's like right at the counter when you're just like, use the card. Okay. But what, I mean, is it because then that drug gets prescribed more because people realize that they can afford it and then GoodRx gets a kickback on it as well? I mean, that's possibly the only way I can think of how this would functionally work. Something can go from like $500 to $25 because I used a card and a service that I'm paying no money for to, I know. It's like, then why was it that much to begin with? And just because I basically held up a piece of paper, now it's different.
It doesn't make any sense. If the price could be that $25, why wasn't it?
Exactly. And if you're going to do that, are you just hoping that there's enough people that don't realize they can pick up that piece of paper and then they pay the $500? Or I don't know. It just, that one's still kind of bad. I like it. I think it's great that we have it. But it just seems like a Band-Aid to a fucked up system that's very, very broken.
100%.
So I don't know. It's
100%.
Good times. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, be sure to keep us on the air. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts, and be sure to give us a review over there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for Stacy and all of us at The Dark Side Of, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. That wraps up the preview of Dark Side Of. Don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Just search Dark Side Of wherever you download podcasts and press the follow, subscribe, or like buttons.